Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keith. Sports Radio, WEEI. We've been, all over the place. We've talked some baseball today. We tried to update you on what's been going on while you've been away from the Bruins and the Celtics. But we've talked a lot of Patriots as well. And we will continue to talk Patriots with Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston. Tom brought to you by Dr. Robert Leonard and Dr. Matthew Lopresti, the hair doctors of Tom E. Curran at 1-800-GET-HAIR. Hello, Tom. How are you?
Dale, what's going on? Hello, Richard.
Hello, Tom.
Let's start with this, and then we'll get to the quarterback matchup for this coming Sunday night. There was a lot of stuff back and forth about Josh Gordon. Was he late? Was he tardy? Mike Giardi reported he was tardy not once but twice. Was he going to be punished? Was he not? Ian Rappaport went on his podcast and defended his reporting. What's your belief about what went on with Josh Gordon on Monday?
My belief, and it's only a theory, is that once it, quote-unquote, got out, that he was going to be sat down at the beginning of the game, Belichick said, you know what? I don't like that stuff being out there before I do it. I'd rather it to be, you know, within the team, within our system, within any conversations I have with Josh, are between Josh and I. So I believe that he probably changed his mind for that reason, not to smoke out a mole, not for any other reason than to say, you know what, point made, I'm not going to make this kid a pinata for a Monday night football game and give the ability for us to scrutinize Josh Gordon's benching above the football game itself.
How do you think they feel about Josh Gordon right now compared to maybe when they first acquired him to a couple of weeks in? Because when I heard this reports on...
Is that Keith's Keys?
Because Keith's Keys getting ready to go Keith's Keys to Josh Gordon, because I heard the rumors about them being interested in a wide receiver, and I thought, uh-oh, like have they started to, you know, give up on Josh Gordon at all?
They couldn't be happier with him. What I think we fell into, and I probably fed it, or at least snared in it myself.
Yeah,
we fall into the trap of, okay, Patriots have talked to, and you know, I know this to be the case, virtually every team in the league, 25 to 30 players discussed. We're not going to talk about the defensive tackles they kick the tires on. We're going to talk about the wide receivers. So in talking about the wide receivers and being in on Demaryius Thomas, I think we're trying to follow, okay, what does that mean about the guys who are there? Now, I don't disagree that it requires the conversation as to whether or not they're pleased with Gordon. But based on everything we're told publicly and what I've been told about his progress privately, I don't think they're dissatisfied with him. I mean, there are people who have problems with tardiness in this world, and a lot of them are very close to me. They even are me.
I've never heard that.
Sure, it happens to the best of us.
Nobody hates him more than Dale.
It's growing up working with Tom McVie, who just scared the hell out of you if you were ever late. Now, the question for me, and we asked this earlier, is what's going on with Gronk? The press conference yesterday that Gronk gave was a little strange, to say the least. His numbers are nowhere near what we're used to seeing. I'm convinced, having watched him, and oh, by the way, he's not at practice today, he's not right physically.
And I don't think he's as bad off physically as folks have indicated. I think that I've seen plays from him, last week included, not just the snare over the defensive back that he made and not just against Kansas City. I think that his quickness and ability to get off the line has been good. I did see him get knocked off an early route that almost resulted in an interception, but I also saw him come back for that wham block on a defensive tackle and execute it, not shrink from it. So I'm certain that he is dealing with physical stuff, as he's been listed with, but I'm not seeing him play desperately bad. I think what we saw from Gronk yesterday was he doesn't know what his story is right now. When he went after the Kansas City game and said to Tom Brady, thank you for going to me late, and Brady has to look at him and go, forever, of course, I'll always go to you. And then Gronk says, I appreciate it. I think that hinted at his vulnerability and his lack of an lack of comfort and security in what his role is right now. Some guys can deal with it well. I don't think Gronk has ever felt that his role or his position on the team was in jeopardy. But the fact that they almost traded him in April, and he had to say, I'm not going if you trade me. The notion that he's on an incentive-based contract again this year after his production in 2016. The fact that the ball has gone elsewhere. I think it has him saying, you know, what is my role here? Because he can't be sitting there saying, well, they're really happy to have me and my role is secure. They tried to trade his ass in April. Regardless of what he did to precipitate that, you know, he's a vulnerable guy who, despite his size, I think it's very sensitive to things, and he's questioning it himself.
Do you think part of him wishes that he retired?
Probably a part of him wonders what am we doing here? Why am I back doing this if every day I'm coming to work and being ill at ease about what I'm doing and how I feel and what my role is?
But isn't that on him, though? Because he could have been playing for the Lions for a lot more money this year, but he made sure that that didn't happen. So don't you almost forfeit the right to sort of, you know, complain?
Yeah, but he hasn't complained. I'm putting words in his mouth.
No, true.
He hasn't complained.
Or pout? What about pout?
I don't know if pout even qualifies. Look, his distress yesterday, and Phil Perry, you know, was on the giving end to some of those questions. My take is he just felt he didn't have any answers to the questions that were being asked. And it was asking him to be introspective about something that he was uncomfortable being introspective about, what his confidence level is. It's probably not that high. He's not getting the ball. He's not moving well, and his production is down. So he didn't feel comfortable, I don't think, being at the podium and on display when he's not making the contributions he wants to make. If he was at his locker, I don't think that would have happened. But being at the podium and having the cameras trained on him for, Gronk, why do you suck so far this year?
Right.
He was like, okay, you know what? can I get out of this? And that's about as close as I've ever seen him to being mad.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's been very different this year. And it started after the Kansas City game.
Sunday Night Football at Gillette. You've got one of the great quarterback matchups of recent memory. You've got Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. You don't mind if I give a quick, cheap plug for the Quick Slants podcast here, do you?
Oh, my God. Well, if you insist.
All right. So you had on your Quick Slants podcast Chris Collinsworth, who will be calling the game here Sunday night. And if you don't mind, we're going to play a little cut here.
Oh, we have a clip?
Real good.
We have a clip of...
Oh, there's a clip?
There's a clip here. Just sit tight.
Of Collinsworth talking about this matchup.
All right, Chris. We obviously, over the course of time, we had the chance to watch the other greatest in the game conversation and quarterbacking conversation play out between Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. But we saw that every single year. Now with Rodgers, how is this matchup to you different in terms of greatness?
I always thought the Peyton Manning one was more about MVPs versus Super Bowl rings, you know, and then Peyton won a few more Super Bowls, and it was so important in the conference because basically those were the two teams, those were the two quarterbacks always playing for the right to go to the Super Bowl, right? But this conversation is very different. This one is even a little more intriguing to me because it has to do with physical gifts. Tom Brady, as we all know, is not ultimately so mobile, although he's made plenty of big plays moving around the pocket, an occasional scramble, you know, we've seen that. But for Aaron Rodgers, it's his mobility and his arm strength that really sets him apart. And plus, I think from an intellectual standpoint, you say Aaron Rodgers is the equal of those other two guys. Mm-hmm. If not even a little sharper. I mean, this guy won Celebrity Jeopardy. I mean, his recall in our meetings is mind-boggling. I mean, it's like Sean McVay-ish kind of stuff. And so you have two of these guys who have brought this cerebral approach to playing the position, not only their physical gifts, but their mental gifts. But in this game, these guys are going to be burning the midnight oil because it means something to him. It's got to mean something to him. Because if I hear the argument all the time, they have to hear.
Good.
What do you think of that?
I thought it was interesting on a lot of levels, and there was a lot more good stuff in there, which obviously you're not going to roll the whole thing.
Where can we find it if we're looking for it?
Oh, that's on your NBC Sports Boston.com website. And additionally, at Tommy Curran, you can find that on Twitter. But thank you for that. But yes. I think it's a great conversation because I put a poll up yesterday, and I would say I got a parochial group of followers, mostly Patriots or Boston-based people. And I said, okay, is it all right to call Aaron Rodgers the most talented quarterback in the NFL? And about 65% of the people said, yep, either yes, that's fine, or yes, but dot, dot, dot. And then a couple other, you know, the other people said that's problematic and that's heresy. But 65% of people understand and agree that he's more talented. Do you guys feel that that's the case?
Yes. I think overall, I think when you're looking at most things for a quarterback, he is more talented. But then there's...
I don't. I think he runs better.
I think he's a better passer.
I don't.
Oh, okay.
I think his arm is more... I think he's got a stronger arm.
Sure.
I think he might...
That's the one thing I'd give you.
I think he's more accurate,
too. Probably more accurate.
I think he spins it better. That's, you like that? I think he spins it a little
bit
better.
Good revolutions.
I think he does better than Brady. But I think there's such a X-factor quality of a quarterback... To whereas if just because a guy can throw it the furthest or throw it the fastest or whatever does not by any means make him the best quarterback.
No, that's David Carr. That's Josh Allen.
Yeah, I mean, Kyle Bowler was a good one.
And,
like, yeah.
And that to me is that's where the interesting aspect lies is it's not it's OK to say somebody is more talented. I mean, Russell Westbrook is probably more talented than virtually any player physically gifted in the NBA, but he's not better than LeBron.
Right.
Or Steph Curry. And that's kind of the same thing going on here. Nobody can ever take Tom Brady's status away until somebody does what he did in 2014 and 2016 in the last, you know, 10 minutes against the Seattle Seahawks and the last 25 minutes against Atlanta. If somebody else does that, then you might have a conversation. But this guy already won three in one fashion and then added two more and also threw for 505 in a loss. Had an undefeated regular season. I mean, what do we, it's just not a conversation, right. But you can say that Aaron Rodgers' ability to throw from multiple platforms.
Yes, yeah, sure.
And to just get it out with the flick of a wrist, Dale, I think that he is a superior athlete. That's the
I'd say that. I'll give you that he's a superior athlete. You asked me if he was a better quarterback.
No. No, I said he's a more talented quarterback.
Yeah, it's... I'm not even positive of that. I think Brady, he absolutely throws the ball further and harder than Tom Brady does. But to me, that's not a measurement of whether or not you're a good quarterback either. The Twitter site Boston Sports Info broke it down. Aaron Rodgers' teams have been in the playoffs 80% of the time, 8 out of 10 years. Tom Brady's teams have been in the playoffs 93.8% of the time, 15 out of 16. Division finals, Rodgers 60%, Brady 87.5%. Conference finals, Rodgers 30%, Brady 75%. Super Bowl, Rodgers 10%, Brady 50%.
Let me stop you real quick.
I get what you're driving at, but what's that mean when we're talking about the relative?
What it means is that he has been easily the more successful player.
Yeah, but talented. Who's more talented?
Yeah, but everybody knows that.
See, but you, the guy who does the job better is more talented.
Well,
Brady's done the job better.
Well, he's also been, he has had Bill Belichick.
By the way, I would make an argument that for much of that time, Aaron Rodgers has had better weapons around him than Tom Brady has.
I don't know.
That's right. That's why talent doesn't enter the equation. That's why game management,
right.
Understanding so, like, which kind of plays to make at which junctures, understanding there's a time to live and fight another day. Those are the things that Brady can do that make him a better quarterback. But not a more talented quarterback.
Yeah, and also, like, some of those stats, I don't even know if they're right. Because Brady, his team has missed the playoffs twice. One of those years he got hurt, but I think they're also probably penalizing Aaron Rodgers for the years that he got hurt. That'd be my guess.
Well, he's played 10 years.
He's played 10 years. Okay, right. So they're just counting the years that
and
he's
Brady
played.
And Brady has played 16 years.
Yeah, I think Brady's more durable. I mean, that's definitely a check mark for Brady. But I just think overall talent, I think, does go to Aaron Rodgers. And also,
when you look at things like yards per catch and touchdown interception ratio and yards per attempt, you know, those things enter into, that's why I don't want to get into the point where we're saying Aaron Rodgers, Dale, and I don't think you are, but his statistics match up to Brady's. And when you talk about
he's really good. Don't misunderstand. I said this is one of the great quarterbacking matchups in recent memory.
Yeah.
the fact that it's even an argument between Aaron Rodgers and a 41-year-old Tom Brady indicates to me that there's no argument.
But there isn't an argument. We're not arguing about the same thing.
No.
I mean, you've already kind of said, I agree that he's more quote-unquote athletic, which I'm reading.
It means he runs better.
Okay. Who's got a better arm? Who's more accurate? Who can throw it further with more velocity?
Rodgers. I think Brady's Rodgers. Pretty accurate. Now, Rodgers obviously can throw it harder and further. I understand that.
Okay. So then,
Tom, who do you think?
Never the twain shall meet. We're on parallel streets.
Yes. Forget talent just for a moment. As far as just who's the better quarterback, Aaron Rodgers or Peyton Manning? Because I know there's a lot of excitement.
I would take Rodgers.
Yeah, interesting. Because he looks a lot better doing it, but the results are hard to argue with, like just the sheer MVPs and, you know, regular season success. Like, it looks a lot better when Rodgers does it. He doesn't run all goofy. What, I mean, he doesn't have a hitch. He throws spirals. Like, it looks better.
But Mike McCarthy is an absolute albatross.
No, that's true.
Do you think that they were going to have – you do think if Mike McCarthy was coaching the Patriots in 2003 or whatever it was, they would have had Lonnie Paxton snapping it off a goalpost? It never would have dawned on him. I mean, just the game management stuff that you see McCarthy pee down his leg with compared to what, you know, Brady's able to not just have learned from and probably do it himself at this juncture, but has benefited from over the years. And I think that Manning, I mean, the Collinsworth said that he might be superior in intellect. I found hyperbolic. I don't think that either of those guys, I don't think that.
Well, just Rodgers because he can remember plays like... No, like great. Sean McVay, I don't think that necessarily means. If anything, what we've thought through the years watching Brady is that he seems to see the game way ahead of everybody else out there.
Yeah, it was cool early on, and it stuck with me in the first week that Brady was going to be the starting quarterback back in 2001. One description that Belichick used of him was that when he comes back to the sideline after a play, you ask him what he saw, and he tells you. And he says, some guys will do that, and then you'll look at the film, and nobody's where they thought they were. It's just he clearly made it up. He said, with Brady, you come back, and everybody is where he said they were. And the reasoning that he used in making the decision that he did was solid. So that was in 2001.
Now, generally speaking, I think that the more desperate team, if there's an equality in talent, the more desperate team wins. I think Green Bay's the more desperate team on Sunday night.
I agree with you. And it's hard for them, I think, having lost the way they did to the best team in football this year in L.A. and then going back, stopping off in Wisconsin, trading a couple of players, dealing with a little bit of dysfunction revolving around Ty Montgomery, and then jumping on a plane and going to New England. So they might be more desperate, but they have a little bit more difficult of a cross to bear this week than the Patriots, even though the Patriots are on a short week themselves.
Did they miss an opportunity to add somebody at the deadline at whatever position you feel necessary?
I didn't hate that they didn't add anybody.
Yep.
I think they have the ability within their locker room to do what they could. I mean, you could say maybe they should have made a move at running back. Running back and tight end are the huge depth positions right now that I think that they could be screwed at. Even less so than wide receiver. I mean, Philip Dorsett is just sitting there on the shelf waiting to be used. So I'm not saying that he's the second coming, but at least you have depth there at the wide receiver position. But running back and tight end are areas that you could look at if you're the Patriots. They're confident in the development of Derek Rivers and Adrian Claiborne and just the entire defense playing better. They didn't feel like they needed duct tape to it. They just felt like they needed a recalibration. So that's why, even though they were in on a lot of guys, they ultimately said, is it going to make us that much better for what we're going to give up? And the answer was no.
Tom, it's always fun to talk football with you. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, Dale. See you later, Rick.
See you.
Thanks, Tom.
Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston, joining us with his regular weekly visit. And by the way, I should have said it to him directly. We appreciate him being flexible and moving to today.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We were in the middle of parade stuff yesterday, and we appreciated him moving 24 hours. We get back to the calls with you in just a couple of minutes. 617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Take Dale and Keefe with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. So So this is one of those good news, bad news things, I'll just tell you.
Okay. It's the same news?
Yeah.
Those are
so imagine
good.
This.
Yes.
Wellesley Books puts out a tweet talking about my upcoming book signing, which was really, really nice.
I feel like that's good news.
Well,
that
sort of.
That sounds like good news.
The tweet says, hockey fans, don't miss these two amazing events at Wellesley Books.
Okay.
We have Bobby Orr on November 6th.
That'd be the better news.
Followed by Dale Arnold and Matt Coleman on November 15th.
So Bobby Orr, you couldn't lead into Bobby Orr.
That would be better, don't you think?
I would think you open up for him rather than... All right, everybody, now here's Dale Arnold. Where are you going?
Hey,
come back. Come back.
Well, we're not there on the same night, thank God.
Oh, well, that is... Okay,
he's there November 6th. I'm there November 15th.
Okay. Well, I'm excited to jump into that book, Dale. I'm going to learn some hockey stuff, I feel like.
There you go.
Some good Bruins details.
I hope. The book comes out Tuesday.
Good.
Rich got his today.
I'll do my book report by next week.
Yeesh.
Well, that's a lot of reading, isn't it? let's push that closer to the holidays.
I think it's 384 pages or something.
That's going to take some time.
I forget.
All right.
All right, let's get back to the call. 617-779-7937. Drew's calling from Germany. Hey, Drew.
What's up, Drew?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Yeah?
You're completely right about Alex Cora being in the right place at the right time, because this past manager was an absolute disaster.
Right.
And
anything else?
You are too.
Wait, what? That was the slowest burn. I think there was a burn in there,
but it was just.
Wait, am I in the right place at the right time? Is that what he's referring to?
Do you think it was the 6 or 7 hour time difference?
I'm like, man, you're calling. That's real long distance. You might want to hop to it there. What was he getting at? He was very slow.
The last manager was a disaster, and pregnant pause. You are too.
I honestly didn't get it.
I thought what
he meant was I'm in the right place at the right time. And I'm like, okay, maybe. I suppose that could be true, but I'm like John Farrell, according to that guy. Got it. Get there quicker next time. That's all I'm going to say. If you get sweet burn, you could have had 4 or 5 burns within that same amount of time. Instead, he kind of dragged it out for just the one kind of confusing burn. But we got there. Nice job.
Aren't you curious? Like, we would see David Ortiz on the set at Fox, and he was very excited as the Red Sox thing was going on. Aren't you curious what John Farrell was like on the set at ESPN this whole thing was...
Yeah, well, even like as the season was going on, you remember he made that joke one time. They put him in an awkward situation where he interviewed one of the Red Sox players after a game, and he said something about, another grand slam. You know, we didn't have any of those last year. And you were like, you kind of knew what he meant, but it was just like, ugh. Like, that's just a bad spot. Because you're right, you swap out managers. Now, one thing Farrell can say is, you didn't give me J.D. Martinez. Like, if I had J.D. Martinez, maybe we don't get bounced out in the first round. But the reality is, you get a new manager in here, and now everybody's looking at him, and like, he could be the greatest thing of all time. So, yeah, that's a tough thing for Farrell.
Can I defend myself briefly here?
Yes.
I mean, just the tiniest little bit.
Sure.
I don't care who throws the ball further. I don't care who runs better. I want to know... which quarterback wins more? Which quarterback puts your team in a better position to win? I think Tom Brady is clearly the better quarterback, even though I will grant you that Aaron Rodgers runs better and throws the ball further.
Yeah, I think that's what I mean. I think he's more talented. I think that's what they're saying. Not who's the greatest quarterback ever,
because
there are
close.
There are more incentives. Well, I think Rodgers is, if he's top 10 quarterback of all time, I mean, that's pretty good with a chance to go up. But that's why, to Tom's point, you sort of changed the question, because Tom Brady versus anybody else in New England, it's nothing. There's not a debate to be had. But if you just say, all right, who has more talent? Who's the better quarterback for the skills you need as a quarterback?
To me, running faster and throwing further are not necessarily skill sets that make you a better quarterback.
It helps, and so does accuracy, which Rodgers has in spades. I think
Brady's pretty accurate, too.
Okay, well, he has a better touchdown-to-interception ratio, to Aaron Rodgers does, compared to Tom Brady. So if that's one thing you're looking at for, you know, not turning the ball over, and like that's another thing. So just because you can throw the ball 80 yards doesn't mean you're not going to throw 3 interceptions every game or whatever else. Like, we've seen a lot of guys that have double-digit interceptions every single season.
Right.
Brady's usually not one of those guys, and neither is Aaron Rodgers. So I think it's okay to say just the what you would be looking for in a quarterback, Aaron Rodgers might be better than Tom Brady, but then when you add everything else in, Brady becomes the better quarterback. I mean, his resume is far better than everybody else's.
617-779-7937. Steve's on the truck phone. Hey, Steve.
Hey, how you doing, Bill?
Good.
What's going on?
Before I go to the tight end situation, I just want to say this about Brady. He's the best. Aaron Rodgers would love to have his stats.
You think he's standing on his truck while it's moving?
End of story. Okay. Now, tight end position, the biggest...
Yeah, couldn't do it, Steve. Couldn't do it, Steve. Not the content.
No, the content was
content
fine.
Was going in a direction I was very interested, but it just sounded like you got to maybe roll the window up.
I think the truck was talking, not Steve.
Like Christine, but truck version. Maybe.
Or like Cars.
Oh, the movie Cars. Or
yeah,
Cars,
the cars
2.
Actually talked.
Or Cars 3. Yeah, sure. It was hard to hear him there.
It was a little tough.
So he just wanted to start the call by saying Brady's the best ever. Got it. Good. Like that. Agreed. Great point. Then he wanted to get into the tight ends. What do you think? The lesser hyped up tight end matchup, Rob Gronkowski, Jimmy Graham this weekend. Two of the
that
better
was one
tight
of the
ends.
Questions Gronk didn't seem to want to get into much yesterday.
No, I didn't really go in there.
Well, I think first of all, he is clearly a better tight end than Jimmy Graham.
Correct.
And so, you know, the fact that somebody wanted to kind of to dance down the, what do you think of Jimmy Graham? What's he going to say?
Really good.
I'm better than him. He's not going to say that. He's never going to do that.
No.
He's going to say, oh, great player.
Jimmy Graham a Hall of Famer? Probably not. Although he's got really good numbers. He had 2,000. He had a 1,300-yard season, a 1,200-yard season. He's had 4 double-digit touchdown seasons. Only one time All-Pro, though, 5 Pro Bowls. So that's a no. He's a no, probably.
That's a hard no.
It's a no, but he's... You know, obviously there's Antonio Gates and Tony Gonzalez, Gronk, maybe Jason Witten, but Jimmy Graham's right up there. I mean, it helped when all those years with the Saints. If he played his whole career with the Saints, maybe he would be a Hall of Famer. Like if he was with Drew Brees this whole time, because it didn't work out great with Russell Wilson at all. And then this year he's off to a whatever start with Aaron Rodgers. He's fine. He also has one touchdown like Gronk.
Charlie's in Northampton. Hey, Charlie.
Hi, how you doing?
Great.
So I came around gradually to Brady being the best. I used to be I'm a Peyton Manning lover, but I had to concede he was the best after the comeback against Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I was a kid, I watched Montana, and no matter how, you know, how even if he was down 2 touchdowns in the fourth, you kind of knew he was going to come back and win. And I had that feeling after the first half of the Super Bowl, where the Patriots beat Atlanta, like even though they were so far down, I was like, Brady can do this. And so he proved it to me. But one thing I've always thought, though, is that offensive line and defense are underestimated. I think that Peyton Manning, if you gave him time, he would destroy you. I mean, his accuracy was incredible. And that, you know, Brady always had a better team. I would put Peyton Manning ahead of Aaron Rodgers.
I did initially, but the more I think about it, I think Aaron Rodgers might be better. I do. I'm like, let's see what happens. Let's see how Rodgers, you know, does Rodgers' defense win him another Super Bowl like Peyton Manning's did his last year? Because as far as him being the best player on the team, they each have one Super Bowl. Like, I understand Peyton has 2, but for all his MVPs, yeah,
he got dragged to the last one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you wonder, like, who would you rather have, like, one game of Aaron Rodgers or one game of Peyton Manning? That's really close, I think.
At their peak. You know, at peak, yeah. Aaron Rodgers and peak Peyton Manning.
Yeah, it might be Rodgers.
I think I'd go with Peyton.
Would you? Yeah, I mean, that one's really close. Like, because Brady he's passed Manning by, and Rodgers hasn't caught up to him yet. So, but the next step down, you know, the best quarterback in the last 15 years not named Tom Brady, that's actually a great debate.
I think I'd go with Manning, but yeah. I agree with you that it's at least a discussion.
It's close. It's very close, yeah.
Let's go to Bill in New Bedford. Hey, Bill.
Good morning or afternoon.
Afternoon, Bill.
I think there's quite a few things that go into judging a quarterback's ability.
Agreed.
And we haven't touched on many of them. Mm. Number one would be probably the era you played in.
Okay.
And there's a lot of luck involved. What organization drafted you? The ability and quality of the offensive line. Same thing, the ability and quality of the receivers.
Okay.
Your defense, the coaching that you have, both as head coach and your offensive coordinator. I'd take somebody like Archie Manning, supposing he got drafted by someone other than New Orleans Saints.
But isn't, like, the talent question, even you can kind of get rid of some of the other factors. Isn't the talent question more on the specific quarterback himself and, like, his ability to, you know, see a blitz, no matter whether he has a good offensive line or not, his decision-making, his arm strength, his ability to avoid pass rushers? Can't you sort of look at that without going into all the different eras of football?
Oh, I agree that, yeah. But I think somehow it's innocuous how you can judge. Personally, I believe it's Brady.
Yeah.
But how, especially in this last era of 20 years or so.
Okay.
But how do you judge it if you don't have, let's say, Johnny Unitas on the Patriots team? Where maybe he didn't get the coach.
Well, that's what makes it great. Like, there's let's be honest, there's no 100% right or actually, you know what, there are some 100% wrong answers. But when you get to quarterbacks that are sort of had this great success, you can debate it. And then what you do is you latch on to certain stats or facts or figures that support your point. But you're never going to be at the end of the show. We're not going to say, and the winner is
right. Like
this quarterback. And for let it be known for the rest of time that he is better than everybody else.
By a count of 52 yeah. to 48%.
Does,
no,
does
you can't do that sort of thing. I just think that ultimately there are things that we've thought about Brady through his entire career here. With some rare exceptions, we've said, God, if he only had the weapons. Boy, if they only got him more weapons. If they only got him this. If they only got him that. Now, he's had a couple great weapons. Randy Moss for a few years was great. Rob Gronkowski, when he's healthy, has been great. I personally think he's made Julian Edelman, Wes Welker, those guys much better than they were. All you have to do is look at Welker after he left here. He was good.
Yeah.
He wasn't like he was here. Amendola after he left here. Not quite the same guy.
I also think, though, the first three Super Bowls that they won, not to take anything away from him because he led some unbelievable drives, but those first three I think may have had more to do with Belichick, maybe more to do with the defense and more to do with sort of the play calling.
And the last couple of Super Bowls
had
more to do with Brady.
Yeah. I think you can almost see a line even. Like, oh, it's almost like half of his career was more team success, which he deserves a lot of the credit because, again,
absolutely,
he's the quarterback,
yep,
for God's sakes. But then the other half of the career, it seems like he is, you know, Belichick has almost been fortunate to have him instead of the other way around.
Paul's in New Hampshire. Hey, Paul.
Hey, guys. How are you? Love the show.
Good.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So doesn't it, if you have a statistician there, I'm sure.
On staff.
Yeah, her name is Lucy.
Yeah.
Winning percentages of all these guys, Manning, even Breeze, and if you look at their winning percentages, isn't that by definition the best? And I think Brady, I don't know them off the top of my head, but I think Brady's far and above all of them as far as career winning percentage.
Actually, Otto Graham has a better winning percentage, but I think to your point, you know, that's an important stat, but I don't think you can just rank them based off of that, right? Because what if Dan Marino, for example, probably didn't have the same overall record as like a Joe Flacco, like,
right,
but there's
right.
No, you know what I mean? Like there's certain examples where a guy might be on a really good team, you know, Eli Manning's record or Ben Roethlisberger's record compared to somebody else that wasn't on a great team. There are still opportunities for those guys to be better.
But to answer your question more specifically, Aaron Rodgers' career winning percentage is .645. Brady's is .774.
Big difference there.
Huge difference.
You know? So, guys, I love the show.
Thank
Ordway
you.
Sucks. Keep going.
Okay.
Who sucks? Me?
I think he said Ordway, but it's...
Oh, I thought it was me. I was like, I can't take another one of those this segment. Two bash jobs in 10 minutes? That's hard
now,
to hear.
I do understand, by the way, that there's a difference in career arc. You know, Tom Brady's played in 296 games. Aaron Rodgers played in 165. I understand
right.
But the fact that Tom Brady has more wins at home than Aaron Rodgers has in his career, Tom Brady at home is 132-24. Think about that for a minute.
Yeah, I mean,
132
it's
wins
it's...
and 24. And by the way, on the road, he's pretty good there too. 97 wins and 43 losses on the road.
Yeah.
He wins more than twice as many games as he loses on the road.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It really is.
But it's an interesting argument because,
sure,
as you said, there's no black or white answer. You
no.
can look at all the different things. I just think that ultimately Brady has done more with less than Rodgers has.
I don't know, because I think the like if you're just looking at receivers, maybe. But when you're talking about the X factor that is Bill Belichick versus McCarthy, I think that is pretty significant.
When we come back in just a couple of minutes, what else you got? OMF is going to have Alex Cora on at 2:30. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Sure.
Right.
And
anything else?
You are too.
Wait, what?
Well, guys, I love the show.
Thank you.
Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
All right, I'm going to bend the rules a tiny bit for this final segment because we did mention it earlier, but we have different audiences throughout the course of the day. So I'm going to go back to this on this part of the program that we call...
What else you got?
What do you got, Dale?
Well, it appears as though it's not going to work out for those two kids, Danny Amendola and Olivia Culpo.
That's a real shame. Although I feel like we've said that before.
I know. They broke up in March.
Yeah.
They got back together again this summer. Over the weekend... photos of Danny Amendola surfaced. He was hanging on the beach with journalist. Do I put up my quotation fingers?
How dare you?
I didn't. I'm
Why
asking,
would you put up quotation
with
fingers?
With journalist Bianca Peters.
She's a real journalist.
So I hadn't seen the photos, and I'm thinking, what's the big deal? They're on the beach. Stuff happens. And then Lucy clued me into the whole you can't touch the hair thing.
Yeah, that's
can't touch the what?
The hair. And now, see, I didn't
it's too
know.
Central,
listen,
I like.
Did not know.
It's central.
I have to admit, I did not know. And then I saw the photos. Oh, yeah, Lucy's right.
Way too close.
Oh, yeah, this
oh,
is...
Oh, my God, he's like about to lean in for a very nice kiss. It
yeah,
looks like.
it looked so...
That's what you start with the hair, and then you go in right for the kiss.
Now, yeah,
that's
yeah.
the plan, I think.
So according to sources, this young lady, Bianca Peters, didn't know who Danny Amendola was. You know, she didn't know. She especially didn't know...
I thought she was a reporter.
She especially... News, not sports.
Oh, okay.
She especially didn't know that he had a girlfriend...
Very famous girlfriend.
So she has said, see ya. I did not know. I am not involved anymore.
He has ruined three lives.
And Olivia got her revenge. She posted a Sports Illustrated swimsuit picture of her with a snake.
Yes, she is in Australia.
I don't like a snake. Now, if she wanted to make Danny jealous, maybe she'd come to the studio. I could run my hand through her hair. And then maybe,
I would then have to fight you.
Yeah, you're right. You'd be upset.
I would have
for some
to defend
reason.
Her honor.
That might be that's an open invitation on that front. I think, if we wanted to do that.
What else you got?
Well, Dale, I don't normally do this, but I have a personal shout out to give out there today. A very happy birthday to my dog Harrow. I know he usually is listening around
really?
This time.
Really?
Yeah, Harrow. I don't think Harrow's. I don't think he has there, but he's listening.
We're wishing happy. How does the dog listen to the radio?
He's six. I don't know, with his ears, Dale.
You leave the radio on all
sure,
day.
Sure, he wants to hear me, and so very very happy birthday.
I think that's actually not nice on your.
No,
part.
I don't. I don't because
he's
look
going,
around.
Hey,
he looks for me.
Dad?
No, I don't. I don't leave it on. But
throw the ball?
But you don't know what he's doing back there. Who's to say? We don't have the place camera, so I have no idea what he's doing. There he is.
Oh no.
It's your
Harrow!
That was the most clunkily produced.
Harrow!
But I like
it. Open your gifts! So happy birthday, Harrow. We'll celebrate when I get home. Big 6-year-old birthday party coming up.
Well, good for.
We're very excited.
Harrow is based on what? It's not
Harrow,
Hero, it's Harrow.
No, H-A-R-R-O-W. It's the last name of a character in the TV show Boardwalk Empire.
Of course
it
is.
He's a badass character.
Of course.
What else you got?
Oh. Ross, what else you got?
We completely buried the lead all day. You know what today is, right?
November 1st.
November 1st.
You know what happens
it's
in about
Thursday?
6 minutes, right?
At
OMF
o'clock?
Comes on, which
yes.
we're all excited about. Cora,
yes.
2:30.
Yes. I wouldn't miss it.
Free taco at Taco
what?
Bell.
Oh, 2 o'clock at Taco Bell.
See ya!
Thank you, Mookie.
Blow out your
oh, we got Fountain Dew, too. It's the best.
That's not free.
I know, but I'm there. That's the whole idea.
I,
the whole
I think that's kind of what they're counting on.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to show up and just get the free taco.
The taco, please.
OMF is up next. Red Sox manager Alex Cora joins them at 2:30. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you for stopping by. Goodbye.
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 Thank you for stopping by.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.